Mike Orr, everybody. Thank you all. And yeah, Mike, talk as long as you want about whatever you want, man. This is your meeting, sir.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not Jimmy H, but I do my best. let's see. Try to keep it sort of short. I tend to feel long-winded. Drugs are part of my story, but I'm definitely an alcoholic. Booze, from the beginning, I drank with intent to get drunk. It was never like a social thing for me. It was I wanted the effect that alcohol gave me. And when I first started drinking, I wanted it more and more and more. I was never, I look at people like my wife. We had our anniversary on a Saturday, 5 year anniversary, and she had the glass of wine with dinner and she didn't finish it. And we left. And like that just doesn't compute for me, like to me that's like throwing away a bag of cocaine, like a perfectly good bag of drugs or something. Because that's just how I think of alcohol. But I started drinking around 16, pretty much when I got my driver's license. And I have a twin brother who's also in recovery. He's an alcoholic too. And we were running mates for years. It was great, or I thought it was great at first, because like we always had a designated driver and we just sort of passed that baton back and forth. But we enabled the hell out of each other and our drinking just got worse and worse. I went to college and I think within like a month or two, I was drinking every night because I could. And I didn't think anything of it. I immediately gravitated towards people who drank like I did, towards potheads and stuff. And nobody challenged me on it. And I got through college, but like, there were a few red flags there. Like my grades would suffer a little bit because I was hungover all the time and I just couldn't go to morning classes because I couldn't get up, stuff like that. But when I got out of school, I had this, grand plan to work for a year and then go to graduate school. And I got a job at a Barnes and Noble, the bookstore. And that year turned into 2 years and then 3 years and then 4 years. And I just kept drinking through that. And I sort of fell into this cycle of just dragging my ass to work every day and then drinking every night. And then doing that over and over again. And I just kept doing it and like wondering, why isn't my life getting better? Because I look at like the people I grew up with, and they were all like starting families and buying houses and starting careers, and I just couldn't seem to bring myself to do any of that stuff. And I eventually thought that like that stuff just wasn't going to happen for me, and I think I knew that like alcohol was an issue. I couldn't imagine life without it, so the prospect of quitting drinking terrified me. Because for me, it was like my life was constantly falling apart, and that was the only thing like holding me together. But as an alcoholic, like I know now, my like relationship to alcohol is not normal. When I wasn't drinking, I was thinking about it. I was planning out the drink. I was planning like how I was going to get away with drinking the way I needed to drink. And always, when I took the first drink, it set up that phenomenon of craving. And I took another and another and another, and like I do all the stuff that people talk about. Like I'd say, okay, I'm only having three drinks tonight, but then once the booze gets in my system, it's like all bets are off, even if I have to get up at 5 in the morning, it'd be 3 in the morning and I'd be like, well, I'll just have one more, and just get a couple hours of sleep and then go to work or whatever. So I did a couple things to try to make things better. I did a geographical. I moved from Virginia to Boston, thinking like, okay, if I move to this big city, my life will be fun and exciting again. I'll meet cool people and go to museums and concerts and blah blah blah. But I brought myself with me, which means I brought my booze problem, and I just kept doing the same thing in Boston that I was doing in Virginia, which is, drinking at night and being hungover during the day, and it just got worse. You know, the only thing that really changed is my living expenses went up. I was living with my brother at the time, and he ended up leaving and getting sober. He went to a detox, and I thought that was good for him because, you know, he had a problem, not looking at myself. And then I was alone, and like that was the first time I was really living alone. And I just kind of gave up on life. You know, I didn't clean up after myself. My house was basically a graveyard for empty beer cans. And I still had my job, but like I was on thin ice, and you know, it just got worse from there. I moved in with some people that I met on Craigslist, which, if you aren't familiar with Craigslist, it's basically just like a posting site where you can post ads for like, you know, roommates and stuff to buy and stuff like that. And I had like every intention of moving in there and being like the model roommate, you know, paying bills on time, being quiet, respectful, and I just couldn't do it because, you know, I'd be up late at 4 in the morning drunk, blasting music. I'd be blackout drunk and like stealing my roommate's food and their alcohol, and they hated me, and like I sort of became this person that I didn't recognize, you know, because I'd never been a thief or anything like that, but I just was that person, and I didn't know what to do about it, you know. And I kind of knew that like I couldn't keep going like this. I knew that I had to change, but I still wasn't ready to quit drinking. And then finally, what happened was my mom died unexpectedly, and I was on bereavement from work. And what finally got me to realize that, like, you know, I was going to die if I kept doing what I was doing was, when I wasn't drinking, I was having like these horrible withdrawal symptoms, you know, shakes and hallucinations and stuff like that. And that scared the crap out of me. And I was like, okay, something's got to give. And I called a crisis line and I got into a detox. And that was kind of the beginning of my recovery journey. And I knew about AA because my brother had been to AA, but I had a lot of misconceptions about it, you know, like I really thought it was like a church program, which is part of what kept me away from it, because I'm an atheist, and I was like, well, it's for, you know, it's like a Christian thing, it's not for me. It was basically my excuse. But in detox, these AA groups were coming in, they were, you know, sharing and stuff, and I was identifying with them, you know, I was opening up my ears and listening, and everybody, you know, the counselors and stuff in the detox were like, you got to go to AA. You know, AA is the place for you if you're an alcoholic. I was like, okay, I'll give this thing a try. But in the back of my head, like, I got out of detox and I found this meeting in a meeting book that was like on my street that I could walk to. And in the back of my head, I was thinking, okay, I'll just go to this. And, you know, if they start talking about like God stuff, then I'll just, you know, say it's not for me and leave. And I sort of set up my escape plan. And thankfully, the meeting I chose, it was called Beyond Belief, and but I didn't put two and two together about what it was. And I sat down in the meeting, you know, expecting them to like open with a prayer or something, and they said, you know, this meeting is for atheists and agnostics. And I didn't really know that that existed, and really it didn't at the time. I mean, there were only like a handful of those meetings around, and most of them, they had to call themselves Beyond Belief and stuff like that, because if they called themselves like atheists and agnostics, they wouldn't be listed in the book. So thankfully, like I sat down there and my escape plan went out the window because, you know, I belong there. Like there are people like me in AA, and which is exactly what I needed. And it's funny because like I've told people that, and they're like, wow, Mike, it's almost like somebody with some supernatural, like spiritual force was looking out for you. And I was like, okay. But anyway, that sort of shepherded me into AA, and I kind of jumped into it, you know, head first, because I knew that left to my own devices, I drank again. And I did, like I relapsed a few times, but what I didn't do is leave AA, because I knew that if I left AA, I'd be screwed, because like I'd been there before, you know, I'd been alone, on my own, trying to stop, and I just couldn't do it. So like my whole thing was, my instincts were to like isolate and not join groups, and I was like, I have to just go against my instincts. So when people were like, "Hey, do you want to make coffee on Friday night?" I said yes, even though I didn't want to. And I got a home group, and that was really helpful for me because, like, I needed to be like part of AA. You know, I needed to be like part of the community. I couldn't just like sit on the sidelines and like watch and because I knew that I'd step away once I decided I didn't need to be there anymore. And that helps because, like, you know, I was making coffee. I had the key to the hall. I had to open the door. I had to talk to people. And I just met AA people. You know, I made friends with AA people. I was hanging out with them, like, outside of AA. And suddenly, like, I was surrounded by sober people. And, you know, I did the stuff they suggested, like deleting the drug dealer's phone number out of my contact list and not going to bars and you know, and I was like open with my family about it. I told everybody and they were really supportive. And like sobriety, you know, early sobriety was really hard, and in a lot of ways it was painful because I always felt like there was this thing missing that like I needed to fill some void in me or something. And you know, it was really just the craving for alcohol. But month after month, like I just did, you know, 24 hours at a time. And I remember waking up one day. And I was like thinking about what I had to do that day. And I realized that I kind of felt all right. You know, like I didn't feel awesome. I didn't feel great. I just felt all right. And I wasn't like obsessing over whether or not I could get away with drinking. I was just thinking about what I had to do that day. And I kind of realized that like the stuff that people were saying in AA about like, you know, the promises or whatever, they were coming true a little bit. That was exciting. And you know, I did a lot of cool stuff when I got sober. I did go back to school. I went back to graduate school. I met my wife actually before I quit drinking, and she stuck around, which was kind of amazing. And we ended up getting married, and then, you know, I got out of grad school, I got a job. I realized I hated that job and I quit that job. And I started working for myself, which was risky and terrifying, but it turned out to be like the best thing for me. And then we eventually moved from Massachusetts to Vermont and bought a house, which is, and like these are all things that like I never thought would happen for me, right? I thought I was going to die before I reached 30 years old. Like that's sort of the trajectory I was on. And now like I'm 39, I'll be 40 next June. And I'm just like, how the heck did I make it this far, you know? And forgive me if my voice sounds a little gross. I'm getting over a cold, but it's because I'm sober, you know. And like, I'm not like a model for physical fitness or wellness or anything. Like, I vape and you know, eat donuts and stuff. But like, alcohol is not an issue for me anymore. You know, it's just it's a non-issue. I'll be sober 9 years in November. And it's really just like, for me, the calculus now is pretty simple. It's like my life is very obviously much better when I'm sober, you know. So drinking, whatever like small amount of relief that drinking's gonna give me, it's not gonna be worth it because drinking for me, it's not like a one night thing. It's like I'm either drinking or I'm not drinking. You know, if I have to take it one day at a time, I've done it for a while now, and you know, that's fine. And these days, like, I don't like, I think about drinking, but I'm never really like tempted to do it. I kind of, you know, like I always hated pot. I never liked it, and I sort of treated it like kryptonite. And I've sort of been doing that with alcohol, and I'm kind of okay. I'm okay if like other people drink around me as long as they're not like getting wasted or whatever. But I also just like don't put myself in those situations, you know. And now I lead a pretty boring, quiet life in rural Vermont, which I love. And it's awesome. And like, you know, I try to help people when I can. I try to take care of myself, and I don't drink it a day at a time, and basically all I do, and I go to AA, and yeah, and I guess that's it. So thanks, everybody.